It is 5:33 on Hometown Radio. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Thanks again to Dr. Matakovich and Dr. Rugin for coming by. I remind you, on Wednesday, Congressman Salud Carbajal will join us. He'll talk about what's happening and not happening in Washington, D.C. We'll also hear from former U.S. Congresswoman Andrea Seastrand. That should be interesting. Tomorrow, it's former KSBY news anchor Dan Shadwell. And John Berger weighs in on all things economic. We are here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. I propose we spend the rest of today's show with Mr. Matt Hoy, well-known local conservative blogger, former Tribune columnist, a man always with an opinion. Matt, how are you?
Yeah, whether you want it or not, I've got an opinion.
You get that? You get that? You get blowback?
From time to time, I get called names.
Means you're doing your job. I mean, if you were to write a column or post something in your blog and everybody ignored you, what's the point?
Exactly. I'm always for civil disagreement.
Yeah. So here we are, 21 days in. What's your mood in 2019, locally, nationally? How do you think we're doing? You frustrated? You happy? You pleased?
Meh. I'm going to go middle of the line, just meh.
It's only January.
It's only January, and it could only get worse or better. I don't know. I'm frustrated with the media from the local to the national. I wish they'd kind of do their jobs better. As far as politics go, I know this shutdown is affecting lots of people, and the thing that I don't like most about it is that when it gets resolved, and it will get resolved one way or the other, and we're not going to go like this forever.
Hope so.
Is that the people that have been furloughed? I'm all for allowing them to work overtime and whatnot to earn back the money. But I think every time this happens, they just get paid the money. I mean, this ends up being like a delayed vacation. At least it always has in the past.
But there's never been a shutdown this long before.
This is true. Okay. This is true. So I understand that this is worse.
And you're not suggesting that the people who don't have their jobs right now are feeling like they're on a vacation.
No, well, it depends. There's some lower level ones, I'm sure, that are struggling because, you know, the pay isn't great. There's executives who this probably is a vacation, frankly. You know, if you're not living paycheck to paycheck, and the
a lot
normal
of these people are
again the lower level ones are the upper level ones I doubt are, and you know there have been all sorts of groups and organizations. I think Navy Federal Credit Union was offering no interest loans.
Yeah, a lot of people are stepping up to help.
Lots of people are stepping up to help.
In fact, out in Morro Bay, I guess there's like 20-25 members of the Coast Guard who are affected.
Right.
And Carbajal and others are trying to figure out a way to help those folks.
Yeah, and I am all for that.
Okay.
It's just.
So what do you want to start? You want to start with the wall or do you want to start with the media? I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about the media. Want to start there?
I'm chomping at the bit to talk about the media.
All right, let's talk to the media. Okay, because you have concerns about the national media and the local media as well.
Yeah, let's...
And before you go there, just remind people a little bit about your media background, because you've had a lot of experience.
I worked for 15 years in newspapers. I started down at the Lompoc Record, went up for 2 years covering Vandenberg Air Force Base, local community services districts, and the Lompoc Federal Penitentiary. Kids always get a kick out of that. I tell them, yeah, when I was in the federal pen, well, how do they allow you to teach? I was there as a reporter.
Yeah.
I worked for a couple of years up at the Daily World in Aberdeen, Washington. I worked for a couple of years at the North County, now defunct North County Times in Escondido and Oceanside, California, down there by San Diego, and I worked for almost 9 years at the San Diego Union Tribune.
So extensive experience in newspapers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And when you were at the newspapers, you were conservative.
I was conservative,
and when you were reporting, did you do so with a conservative bent?
No.
Okay.
No. When I did reporting, when I did copy editing or line editing, I made every effort to set aside my own biases. Was I always successful? I tried my best. I won't say I was always successful. I will admit to that. I think the best editing and reporting that's done is when you have people from both sides of an issue looking at a story, working on it, and focusing on the back and forth. Okay, do you think it's, if both sides think it's fair, we've achieved something.
So what's your beef with the media?
Oh, where to start? All right, you had Joe Tirica on week and a half ago.
The Tribune, yeah. And you called in.
And I called in. And
you weren't happy.
First things first, I encouraged him to come back on. I hope you have him back on.
I hope so, too.
Because I think it benefits the paper if he does that.
I was very happy that we had both the editor of the Tribune and the editor of New Times on this broadcast.
I think that's great for your listenership. I think it's great for both those papers.
But?
But Tirica said that bias doesn't. First off, he said that they always cover both sides. And the thing that struck me was about 10 minutes after I got off the phone with him that day, up on the Slow Tribune website goes a piece detailing Rep. Carbajal and a bunch of other Democrats going and visiting one of these detention centers near the border in New Mexico.
Okay.
It was stenography.
Meaning?
Sole sourced. Carbajal was the only person quoted in it. It was all his view. Right. There was no, and hey, that's news.
Was it a wire story or
no? It was written local. It was written by a Tribune reporter.
Okay,
and I understand where that story came from. You know, he's been there. He wants the papers here to report on it. I get that. One of the things you usually do when that happens is you get the other side by either seeking out public affairs people from Department of Homeland Security or Border Patrol or ICE, you give them a call and say, okay, you know, what's the official side of this? If you can't get a hold of them, you at least say you tried to get a hold of them. There was no sentence in that story where they had tried to get a hold of anybody in the government.
And what was the takeaway from the story, though? What was Carbajal saying?
Oh, just that, you know, these facilities are ill-prepared to serve the illegal immigrants. One of the lines was they got like one microwave oven and they end up going out to a fast food or a Costco or something like that to get frozen burritos. And they have one microwave oven to heat burritos for hundreds of people. Mm. You know. But, you know, you write that story, you get all of his information, and the normal thing to do is you at least say, here's the, you know, Trump administration's position. Here's what they've said about this. Yeah. In the case of these facilities, these aren't new facilities. Lots of these problems have been going on long before Trump became president. You usually kind of note that, too. So one of the things they taught me in J school at Cal Poly, at the very least, is even if you can't get a hold of the other side, you try your best to kind of present their best defense. Okay. It was 10 minutes after I got off the phone. That goes up on the website. I'm just sitting there shaking my head. I can't believe it. This past Thursday or Friday, the Tribune ran a story on the Cal Poly men's basketball program.
Okay.
They're not having a good year. I think they're 4-0. Lost again this weekend to UC Davis. And the story was, hey, they're having a bad year. And it goes through all of the, you know, who they lost last year versus this year, what the history is. I showed the story to my wife the other night. I said, I asked her to read it. She says, well, what's the problem with it? I say, what's missing? You write a story about how Cal Poly men's basketball team is having a bad year. There isn't a single quote from the coach. You didn't talk to any of the players.
Who did they talk to?
They didn't talk to anybody.
Was it an article or was it analysis?
It was an article.
Okay. Because if it was just somebody writing a column, like a Pete Walner.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a column. It was one of their reporters. And you didn't talk to the sports information director. You didn't talk to the coach. You didn't talk to any of the players. You didn't talk to the guys who broadcast the games. Say, hey, guys, you know, you go to every game. You see these things.
But nobody was quoted in the entire article.
There wasn't a single quote in the entire article.
Well, it had to be an opinion piece then.
This wasn't on the opinion page. It was bad. So, you know, that's again. This is Joe Tirica's standard. I'm just holding him to it, right? So that's kind of where I got a little bit.
I'd have to see either one of the articles to comment. I don't know.
Yeah. But
I guess the root problem is you think the Tribune has a liberal bias.
I think it has a liberal bias. Okay. And those are parts of it. Well, another thing that shortly after I called in, you know, when he was talking, I guess you got a text from a reader saying that I had lied about the Women's March.
I don't remember.
I remember this because I, you know, said, look, you know, the National Women's March has this problem with anti-Semitism at the very top.
Okay.
And somebody had texted in that I was lying.
Okay.
I encourage people to check out the Women's March Slow webpage, womensmarchslow.com. They've got a piece that they published a week after that in the Tribune, and they had a statement the day before I mentioned it, where basically the Women's March of California is disassociating themselves from the National Women's March because of this anti-Semitism.
Which is good, isn't it?
It's good. They're doing the right thing.
Good.
I am 100% for it. But I wasn't lying.
Matt Hoy is on this broadcast, and he's just getting started. We're talking about bias in the media, and then we're going to expand the conversation to talk about the latest out of Washington, D.C., and the government shutdown and the wall. Your phone call still to come. I'd stick around. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show, ABC Radio News at the top of the hour. I'd stick around for that. I'd also stick around because we've got Matt Hoy here. Check out his blog at hoystory.com. We're talking about a couple different subjects. One, bias in the media, and also we're going to get into the shutdown debate as well. Now, you talked a little bit about the Tribune and local media, but let's expand the conversation and talk about what's been happening the last couple of days with national media because you're equally concerned.
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said for getting it first. That's something that they encourage you to do.
Sure.
But they also want you to get it right first.
That helps.
Over the weekend, Thursday night, BuzzFeed drops this bombshell stating that Mueller's office, who is the independent counsel who's investigating the president, for collusion and whatnot with Russia regarding the 2016 campaign, that Mueller had discovered that Trump had directed his lawyer to lie to Congress.
Yes.
That is an impeachable offense.
Yes.
In truth, anything that Congress decides is an impeachable offense is an impeachable offense.
But particularly but something like this is.
This one stinks. It's bad.
Right.
If true.
Right.
And that's always the thing, if true. So BuzzFeed runs with this. And one thing that the media is usually pretty good about doing is if somebody breaks something like this, there is everybody else plays catch up. You know, we want to see if we can, other news organizations try and confirm it. They're going to try and expand on it. And it became pretty clear pretty quickly that nobody could confirm it. The New York Times tried. The Washington Post tried. No one was able to get out there and say, yeah, we found sources too that are saying the exact same thing. And then, I believe it was Friday night, Mueller came out with a statement basically disputing the accuracy of that BuzzFeed.
He said it wasn't accurate.
He said it wasn't accurate.
And to add to all this, one of the two BuzzFeed reporters apparently has a history of sloppy reporting.
Yes. Yeah. So.
And this is what I'll say. I don't know anything about BuzzFeed. I don't know if it's a magazine, a website.
They do some. It's a website.
I know they're a wannabe.
They do some reporting. They have reporters.
Right.
They're not just, you know, content aggregators.
Right.
but they don't have the same standards that even the Washington Post and New York Times usually pretend to have.
Yeah, they have standards.
Low standards are still standards.
All right.
But the thing was, you had, you know, several hours of, you know, MSNBC and CBS and, you know, all these Fox News, you know, trying to protect him. But all these media organizations kind of, even though they aren't able to confirm it, repeating it
We're
and discussing
it.
If true.
Yeah.
And, you know, it used to be you waited until you had it nailed down.
So how should it have been handled instead as a media critic?
As a media critic, I probably would have reported that, you know, BuzzFeed is reporting this. I would have high up noted that my organization is trying to confirm it but cannot.
Right.
But I probably wouldn't have spent the hours and hours of airtime discussing it. It would have been a brief note rather than this is a way to fill an entire
hour,
an entire evening, you know, talking head news block.
Because the media wanted it to be true, is your contention.
They wanted this to be true. Lots of things, yes.
Okay.
They would not have played this the same way, I don't think, if it were a Democratic president. I don't think the enthusiasm would have been there.
Whenever I hear that argument, I say, but look how they went after Clinton on Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
They didn't pull any punches there.
There could be some argument about whether they pulled punches there. But
don't they go after the incumbent, regardless if he's a Democrat or Republican? If there's a scandal, if there's a story, they're going to go after you.
Right up until Barack Obama got in office. I would say that was true. Right up until Barack Obama got in
office. And what personal scandal did Barack Obama engage in? Refresh my memory.
Hold on. Barack Obama had a scandalless administration. There was no scandals.
Yeah.
There was no Benghazi. There was no Fast and Furious.
Yeah, there was none. Exactly. I'm talking about personal scandals. The best the Republicans could come up with was the birth certificate one.
That wasn't a scandal. That was just, you know,
garbage.
That was people wishing and wishcasting.
Same thing. Media wishing, in that case, the conservative media wishing it was true.
Right. Yeah. No, it's the
let's get this call in. Here's our man in Mexico. Here's Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey, Mr. How are you?
We have a man in Mexico. I'm excited about that.
Go ahead, Rich.
Getting a story wrong is one thing, but what I think one item that was a glaring example of media bias is, if you remember when Nancy Pelosi sent Trump the letter, you know, saying we may want to consider postponing the State of the Union.
Yes.
The narrative was Nancy Pelosi doing a bold power play, you know, hardball politics.
Yep.
Great strategery. Some were calling her a political genius.
Yep.
A few hours later, when Trump cancels her excursion overseas, those same media experts that just called Nancy Pelosi a political hardball genius were now calling Trump a childish. So,
yes.
I mean, that's the perfect example of when hardball politics is used by the Democrats. It's a strategic, beautiful move. When Donald Trump does the exact same petty political hardball, which that it was, next thing you know, he's childish. I mean, that's the perfect example of the mantra and tone that comes from the national media, that if Trump does it, it's the devil. If Clinton, Bush, Obama want the wall, it's needed. If Trump does it, it's racist.
He is absolutely right. That was a great example. And I saw on Twitter people putting up screen grabs of, you know, national media reporters saying that exact thing. You know, Nancy Pelosi's a genius. Trump's a little petulant child. And I want to say two things about Twitter. Twitter is kind of the greatest thing that has been invented for allowing the mainstream media to reveal their biases. They get on Twitter and there's no editor. And then all of a sudden, you know, these sorts of discussions that happen in the newsroom happen on Twitter, and we can all see it. The other thing about Twitter is it's an absolute sewer.
Meaning, yes, I was going to say the first thing about Twitter is that it's a cesspool, but I also like your other reason. Now we know who these people are.
Yeah, it's Twitter is a sewer.
How so? I don't spend much time on it, but.
And you're a better person for it.
Okay.
Well, my wife has banned me from it because really? I'm sure I'd get too much trouble if I was there.
What's wrong with Twitter, Rich?
Well, from what my experience is with Twitter, half the followers are fake. So right away, you're dealing with almost fake controversies, fake mobs. But Twitter is where all these corporations and companies get cowed by these fake mobs and fake outrages of the day. And it's where the social justice warriors and the social who's hip go to value signal and virtue signal and basically get your I hate Trump bona fides in.
Yeah, but Ann Coulter's on Twitter too. Come on.
I'm not sure that helped your argument, Dave.
Yeah. No, Twitter, the thing about Twitter is you get these mobs that go out and, hey, you know, we're going to punish you for saying the wrong thing or thinking the wrong thing.
On Facebook, too.
It doesn't have the immediacy and kind of the power that Twitter has to that extent.
What else, Rich?
Well, I think the other perfect example is, you know, they're calling him the satirical look, the smug look guy with teenager with the MAGA hat. That was a perfect made-to-order template story of a MAGA hate an American Indian type of thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk
about
that.
The media, Twitter ran crazy with it. But then the truth comes out, and it's 180 degrees different from how it was portrayed.
What's the truth? What do we know about this? This is the kid and the Indian.
Last night before I went to bed, Reason Magazine has a good kind of analysis of what happened. But the bigger story, the first day controversy was there's these kids at Covington Catholic School
in
Kentucky who went to Washington
for
the March for Life and were hanging out afterwards at the Lincoln Memorial, and that a Native American was disturbed by all of this hatred and anger that was being demonstrated outside the memorial, and so he was trying to go up to the memorial to pray, and this Catholic school teenager stopped him and got in his face and wouldn't let him get up there.
I got to pick this up after the news break. Rich, always good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Matt Hoy is here. Off we go. We got ABC Radio News. Craig has the very latest in time saver traffic and weather together. We'll continue the conversation with Matt and welcome more of your phone calls. We're live. We're local. This is the Dave Congleton Show.